And that's why we keep the pews so close to the ground. but I believe that it has to change us. It has to relate to us. It can't be, like I've said so often, just a book report that tells us what happened, but how does it affect my life, if you will? And so if you'll just stay with me a few minutes, I know a lot of you have worked hard and some of you are tired, but I think the word can revive us. Exodus, the 34th chapter, starting in verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him," or God. "And when Aaron and all of the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all of the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And after all of the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded." He spoke what he heard from God. "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him," or God. And then if you'll turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter. There's one thing that I love about the Word of God is there's always shadows and types. Old Testament delivered to the New Testament, and we see God's making a point, just as he did in the Old Testament, under a new covenant. And then if you look at Matthew 17, verse number 1, it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain again apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here." Church, it's good for us to be here. "If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles or houses, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this evening, God, that, Lord, it can be applied to us, that we see the reality of it in our everyday life. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I said to my wife yesterday, I want to soak up as much of this sunshine as I possibly can, this beautiful, beautiful day, because I know what's coming tomorrow, which is today. I knew it said 100% chance of rain. Now, that's a pretty good chance, you know? And so how many love this cloudy, rainy weather? Well, I don't think many of us do, because it just doesn't lift our spirits. But the sun lifts our spirits. Moses made 6 trips up and down the mountain. If you look at the scripture, 6 trips. In chapter 34, he's coming down for the 6th time. 6 is the number of a man. 7 is the number of perfection. But there is no perfection unless you put the number 1 with the number 6. And then you get perfection. Moses could have said, enough is enough, that's it. I'm not going back up there again. You know what kind of trip it is? It wasn't easy for me to do that. I keep going back up to God, get the law, and then the people just don't want the restrictions. They don't want the law at all. But he didn't. He kept climbing the mountain to be with God. Do you ever get to that place? You just keep climbing the mountain in order to get to where God is. On the fifth trip, Moses took three men with him. That's what the Bible says. Not everyone from the camp came with him, but three men had a greater desire to be with the man of God and in the presence of God. Wednesday nights, I sometimes don't even want to look out there because there aren't as many people as there are on Sundays. And I know there's a reflection of work and a lot of other things, but I still think that there's a greater desire on Sunday than there is on Wednesday. Matthew 17:1 said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John and bringeth them up to the high mountain. Well, where were the rest of the 12? Just three? Now, both mountain experiences were a shadow and a type of what God wants us to experience. And it's not always easy to get to God. Not always. There's obstacles. The face of Jesus did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light, the Bible says. Exodus 34:29 said, Moses wist or knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. I can't tell you how many times I've spent several hours in my office, in my home, working on a message, and then I'll walk into the room where my wife is, and she'll say, it must be a great message. Your face is all red. And I really do believe that when you spend time in God's word or in God's presence, worshiping or praying, something happens physically to us. Hallelujah. You know, if you're diagnosed with a cancer, they want to give you a chemotherapy or radiation treatment in order to kill everything. And I wonder if our worship services or even in the presence of God is like a chemo or a radiation that takes care of all of the things that are going on in our body. I believe one day we're going to find out. Every time we make the trip up to the mountain through worship or prayer or studying God's word, something happens to our countenance. We change. Our appearance changes in the presence of God. Our facial expressions change from sad to glad. Our attitude is different than before we got into his presence. Our demeanor, our outlook, our health, our moral values, our productivity, our encouragement. Sour becomes sweet, darkness becomes light. I don't know, I was so tired and now I have energy. There is a radiance that shines from us. I've had people say exactly that. It came out of a great service on a Sunday morning and they were in line at some checkout and people say, wow, what is it about you? If you look at Acts, the fourth chapter, they perceive that Peter and James were ignorant men, but they had been with Jesus. So maybe we just get a little smarter as well in the presence of God. We're kind of solar-powered saints, you know? Get me to the sun. That is S-O-N. Get me to Jesus, and I get energized. I get new life. But before you can function, we must be exposed to the sun. Less exposure, less energy, less power, less transformation. Solar panels won't do you much good on a day like today. You have to have some reserve. And you know, as much as we spend time in the house of God, we also need to plug in when we're not in the house of God, because that energy will only go so far, especially when you get some cloudy days in your life. We can't store much joy if we aren't always thinking about our problems. Can you imagine the the high Moses was on when he first came down to the mountain. He's been with God all of this time, and God actually gave him tablets, wrote something down. He's got a message from God carried in stone to deliver to the people of Israel, and then he sees the people who just don't care. They're into golden calves and dancing naked. You can imagine, you're so close to God and you get so disappointed with people who aren't close to God. And we got to be careful, church, because we got this high with God and then we see people who have no care, no interest in God at all, and it changes our demeanor. It almost gets us angry. And that might keep you from going up to the mountain again. People can keep you from your mountaintop experience because they just don't care. But there were five more trips, and once with three other men with Moses, because Moses needed a transfiguration. Or in other words, he needed to be transformed in the presence of God. I've said this so often, just get me to God, get me to God. Everything is going to be all right. You can do everything right. You can do everything that you think is going to solve your dilemma, your situation, your health, whatever it is. But there is nothing like taking a mountain trip up to God that will change your situation, transform your problem. You know, I counsel all the time, but, you know, the main thing I will suggest is get in the presence of God, because he can do what nobody else can do. And it doesn't even matter, you know, what we do sometimes if we don't do it with God. If we stay long enough in the presence of God, we see more grace than we do law. Then all of a sudden, the restrictions don't seem like they're restrictions at all. And when people start counting the costs and looking at the restrictions and saying, well, I really don't think, is that really necessary? You know what the problem is? You haven't been to the mountain lately. You haven't been with God. Your grace is running low, and now all of a sudden, the law is ruling your life. You don't see the restrictions, you see the love, you see the mercy, you see the grace of God. But listen, if you don't spend enough time in his presence, there isn't enough time to make the transformation that each and every one of us have to have when we come into his presence. Six times, six transformations. I believe every time he came down, he looked different than when he went up. Every time we walk into the house of God, we should be different. We should look different. We should act different. Our attitude has changed because there's been a transformation by being in the presence of God. The solar panels won't catch enough of God to recharge your batteries. Church is not just a rapid charge. Come on. Make it snappy and I'll be happy, you know. Just give me a little word and I'm out of here, because I do have things to do yet here tonight. But you know what? If any of you know anything about batteries, you can't do a quick charge. It's got to be a trickle charge. It's got to be something that just is flowing and flowing and flowing. That's why altar calls are so important, because they alter you. And I sometimes get frightened, because altar calls are just plug in for a little while and then I'm out of here, because I do have things to do. And it isn't enough time for transformation. There has to be that transformation in every service. Otherwise, the next time you may not be able to get started to come to the house of the Lord. There are some who haven't made the trip because, well, they're carrying too heavy of a load. The tablets are too big. There are too many problems. Burdened with restrictions rather than shining in the glory of God. Take a look at Exodus, the 33rd chapter, please. Exodus 33 and verse number 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. See, everything we do, we have to have God's approval on it. If you're not in it, God, I don't want to be a part of it, because I know it's just not going to work. God wants us to stand out as a light to this crooked world. If you'll turn to Philippians 2 and 15. Verse number 15, it says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're shining. We're different. People should see that. Now, I know there are lots of people come up to my wife in grocery stores and other stores and say, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? And, you know, we can justify that by hair and skirts and all of that. But what about us guys? I wonder how many times I've been stopped in the store and people want to know, what church do you go to, you know? And it's not just because of my appearance. It's not that much different than a lot of people. But, you know, there's got to be something that people see. Moses was shown the glory of God, and his face radiated light. Jesus took Peter and James and John to the Mount of Transfiguration to show them his glory. And when God made man, man was covered in light. I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I believe that because God showed them the glory of his light on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was exactly the same for Adam and Eve, because he was made like God, who is light, and clothed himself in light. Psalms 104 and 2 says, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. So God covered himself with light just as a garment. And I believe that Adam and Eve didn't have any clothes, but they did not know that they were naked because they were covered with light. But as soon as they sinned, the light was gone. No more shining, if you will. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the light was removed and they saw that they had been naked. I believe, truly, that when we're transformed in the rapture, we too are going to put on that same light again. Adam, before he sinned, looked just like what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, because Jesus is the glory of God veiled. The saints of God are reflectors of the glory of God. God made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And the moon is just a reflection of what the sun is. And we are to rule the night, and we're just a reflection of what the sun, S-O-N, is. And we need to reflect his glory to the rest of this world. The more time we spend in his presence, the more we reflect the glory of God. This is such a simple message, but it is so powerful. And we can get so caught up in the revelation and the deep things of God and miss some of the simplicity that God gives us. Sin depletes the light and brings on shame. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. As soon as they sinned, the light wasn't there. And I believe that if we willfully sin after we come to the knowledge of truth, that there remains no more sacrifice. But I believe that the light is gone and the reflection of God is no longer there. The tabernacle was laid out as a journey towards light. the outer court was natural light because there was no tent, so the sun shone down in there. The inner court was man-made light. It was just a candlestick there, but the holy place was holy light that caused a transformation. And you can go as far as you want with God. You can stay in an outer court, or you can get involved in the service of God, but never get to that intimate place with God on the mountain where we need to be so God can transfigure us and change not only our appearance, but our attitude and characteristics. I miss the sun today because of the clouds. It's good that we have these lights on in the building, and more as the year progresses, we're going to need more artificial light. But we also need more of God's light in us, each and every one of us. I have to get into the holy place, not just service work. You know, not just, okay, I'll what do you want me to do, Pastor? You know what I'm afraid of? I know there are a lot of people who would love to have positions or are positions in the church because they need a fulfillment in their life. But the danger with that is that whenever I put someone in a position, I'm so afraid that because of the position, they're going to be offended by somebody that they're supposed to be ministering to. And then all of a sudden, they don't want to take another trip up to the mountain. But we're fulfilled just by our own trip up to the mountain and getting into the presence of God. You see, and then it doesn't make a difference if we're in any kind of service for God. It's just that, hey, I've got the relationship going. So I need to be a solar-powered saint. Nothing else will transform me. Not music, not preaching, not the law, but his presence. Because if you keep making the trip to the Mount of Transfiguration, one day our bodies will change for good. And we'll be all light. Amen. Our last scripture, if the musicians would come, Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3 and verse 21, familiar to all of us. Who shall change our vile body that it should be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? We shall be changed. And I know we all look at this and say, well, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be changed. But folks, I really do believe that God wants to change us now. He really does. See, I don't have enough fortitude in order to live for God by myself. And it took six trips for Moses to go up to the mountain before he could actually minister to the people who didn't want God at all. If we ever want to minister to people that are around us, we have to be more spiritual than the people that we're trying to minister to. Otherwise, one day, we're going to throw the law down and break it. That last time, when the people needed water from a rock, God said, talk to it. But he didn't. He was so frustrated with the people that he struck the rock. The rock was a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was struck once, but not again. Now, all we have to do is talk to him. And it'll flow. But you know, he let his flesh get the best of him, and as a result, in the very end, after all of these years, he didn't enter into the promised land like he should. I don't want to get to the place where I get frustrated. I just need one more trip up to the Mount of Transfiguration. So it's God in me, and I can subdue this flesh. Because if I don't, there'll be one day where I'll throw this down. I'll break the commandments. God forbid. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?